Hi everyone, this is John Sneisen for World Alternative Media, and today we're joined by Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor over in Arizona, and we are going to talk about some red light recession warnings that have been happening lately. And Tim, why don't you get into some of them, and then we're going to analyze a little bit and explain why, you know, there's some problems with something that, you know, it might not be the trade wars, it might not be a lot of the things that we hear in mainstream media, but there might be some serious debt problems that we have in the world economy. And let's hear about it, Tim.
Yes, thank you, John. So usually I don't use CNBC as my, you know, bastion of truth or, you know, what I want to look to when I'm looking at financial news. But, you know, even they, but they're almost always positive. I mean, you even go back to, you know, right before Bear Stearns collapse, they were positive everything. Look at right before Lehman Brothers collapse, which was almost 11 years ago today. They're positive on that. But what they're saying is that data seems to be coming in from every angle that basically indicates you could have a upcoming recession. One of those indicators is the actual search term for recession is basically through the roof right now. So that's just, you know, showing that people is, it's kind of out there in the common zeitgeist. So this is now actually being a thing. And this is something that John and I talk about constantly, especially John, is the inverted yield curve and how that has always been a classic recession indicator. Then you've got the growth domestic product or the GDP. I do have my problems with that, with how they measure that. But however, you know, that also is trending in a negative direction. And then this is something we mentioned earlier on our last live stream was we have corporate profits. You take a look at where the corporate profits are from December of 2018 to now. I mean, basically in the toilet. However, the S&P 500 has gone way the heck higher. Meanwhile, the earnings are lower. And the reason for that is what I've been saying all along is that bad news is good news and good news is bad news. So this bad news now gave the Fed the excuse to cut rates, and flooding money into the economy is quote unquote good news. And, you know, it's more of the same for what we've been seeing, you know, time and time again. And then we have the PMI manufacturing index has been declining. And actually, the number came in at the lowest number since September of 2009, the first time it broke the 50 threshold. So U.S. manufacturer growth slowed to the lowest level in almost 10 years in August. The U.S. manufacturing PMI, that's the Purchasing Managers Index, was 49.9 in August, down from 50.4 in July, which, you know, that also was not a very stellar number. The reading is below the neutral 50 mark threshold for the first time since September 2009, according to the IHS Market. Any reading below 50 signals a contraction. So boom, there you go. Then you've got the Cass Freight Index. That has fell 5.9% in July. That was following a 5.3% decline in June, which also followed a 6% drop in May. And this is reading here, quote, "We repeat our message from the last 2 months. The shipments index has gone from warning of a potential slowdown to signaling an economic contraction," the July report said. "Although the initial Q2 2019 GDP was positive, it was not as positive upon dissection. And we see a growing risk that the GDP will go negative by year's end." And then we have copper prices. So copper, which people also refer to as Dr. Copper, as a lot of times has helped signal recessions. And because, you know, people use it, you know, to build homes and a lot of new home construction, as copper is, that's one of the big use cases for it. And that commodity is down 13% since the beginning of this year. And then contrasting that is gold has been soaring. So gold prices are up more than 20% since May. You know, some of that could be the US-China trade tariff. I mean, a lot of that is probably because most places in the world, you get nothing to hold on to your money, or in many cases, you actually have to pay the banks for them to lend them money, which is just absolute utter insanity, in my opinion. And I'm sure probably everyone that has a brain's opinion as well. And then we have the Global Economic Policy Uncertainty Index, which, you know, is even way the heck higher than where it was in 2009. I mean, we're at, you know, astronomical levels for this. And then you have business spending is down 5.5%. So these are just all signs that show that things are not as great as what people make them out to be. And so, John, what do you think about some of these classic recession signs that we had just mentioned?
Well, yeah, there's, of course, the yield curve inversion, Tim. That's a serious indicator. And what we see is another one that is also another serious indicator is the gold-silver ratio. It peaked out about 3 months ago. It peaked out at 93 to 1, 93 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold. Well, now currently it's dropped down quite substantially down to 80 2.58, and it doesn't seem like it wants to go back up again a lot. So what that tells me, every time you hit that peak in gold-silver ratio and it starts dropping down and silver is starting to move up and catch up to gold, there is a recession that's happening as well. So you got some serious indicators here that, you know, almost every single time has been available to us to watch these signals happening. And they're every single time. Basically, the gold-silver ratio together with the yield curve inversion over the last 10 times that we had a recession or a market calamity, they've happened every single time by no different change at all. And this is what we see. We see these indicators, you know, are trying to tell us something, but nobody's really listening to these indicators. They're more, you know, looking at the flashy, green lights at the stock market, you know, looking at high frequency trading, or just what's going on Wall Street as the real economy, which is really not. The real economy is people putting out products, people, you know, doing research and developments, people, growing their business, not with debt purchases or by purchasing back their own stocks, but by actually producing something and growing because there is a need for their product. So what we've seen ever since 2008, when they printed over the default of the US dollar, we've seen that they printed up about 330% on the different central banks' balance sheets. That's the average of the 82 central banks that I measure. And that was between 2008 and 2018. So you see that they've increased their balance sheet substantially, and a lot of their balance sheets was a lot of bad derivatives, and it's all these bad debt that the bank basically have their customers defaulting on, but they're trying to hide the fact that happens, and then they're just, you know, brushing it over by printing more and ever more currency into the system, and it's just a vicious cycle that you can keep on, you know, propping up. But at one point, you'll have the most important part of a fiat currency system is the trust in that currency will falter. And at that time, when that trust falters, that's when the currency fails very fast and very rapid. And we've seen that throughout times. It's not just me saying that is a potential of happening. That's just a matter of fact that it happened over the last 50 times. In just early, you know, we're talking about 18, 19, and 2000s, the centuries. So we're looking at that happening in those three centuries alone. And every single time within a year, after people lost trust that the purchasing power of their currency would hold, it was gone. And that's just a fact. And that will happen again, no matter how much people think that they'll prop up the economy here. So we get a keep on like looking and telling people about what's happening here, all these numbers, then they could keep on, you know, printing their currency. And of course they could keep on, you know, lowering the interest rates to prop up the system, all the debt that they need so more people can get in, so they could keep on sustaining this Ponzi scheme. But at one point you will hit, you know, as you said, the negative. And in Denmark, there's 22% of the mortgages that are negative now. And by that default, so think about if you just pay the interest rate.
I'll say maybe that's why Trump wanted to buy Greenland. He's like wanted to take out a negative mortgage.
Well, yeah, he's a smart guy. He's the debt man. You know, he's not like Rocket Man over there in North Korea. He's the debt man.
He just tweeted out like a couple hours ago. I just saw right now that he goes, the economy is great. The only thing that's basically is adding uncertainty is all the fake news. So yeah, well, and he has some other quotes that we'll talk about in our follow up video to this. But can I also just mention that we have, speaking of numbers, is the Atlanta Fed has GDP at 1.7% annualized rate in the third quarter. And what drives me nuts about this is when they said the rate was, I forgot, at one point, I mean, they had an estimate like a year or two ago that it was at like 5.5%. And I was telling everybody, like, listen, the Atlanta Fed is not your friend. Any Fed Reserve branch is not your friend. These people, like, so if you guys want to use that as the barometer to go by, you know, be careful on what, dying on the sword over here, is because, you know, what happens when they have, you know, a rate like right now is at 1.7% is the newest indication that they have. And so, you know, be very careful, all the people that are toting this number, you know, from like 2 years ago at around, you know, 5.5%. And another thing, just to give like the devil's advocate on this, because we were talking about all the people that are seeing a sign of recession. Well, one group that is not seeing a sign of recession, I'm going to try to pull this up on the screen right now, is Best Buy. So what Best Buy is saying is that basically they've had a lot of people who are taking out leases on TV. So here we go. If a U.S. recession was lurking within the next 90 days to 12 months, people probably wouldn't be leasing out big screen TVs and refrigerators at a nice clip from Best Buy. And throughout the second quarter, we continue to see customers use lease to own to acquire products across a wide variety of categories, with the largest being computing. We also continue to see a significant number of customers take advantage of the 90-day purchase option, which consists of additional payments plus the purchase price. And so to me, I mean, I don't know about, you know, other people out there, but, you know, if people are resorting to lease to own, well, A, you know, it could be a good financial move. You know, hey, you know, we'll have Best Buy float this for 0% and we'll just pay back a little bit every month, which is actually what I did with the computer that I'm streaming from right now. And it was actually this week last year when I bought the computer, but, you know, I basically gave me a 0% loan. But for a lot of people, they're probably doing it because that's what they have to do. And so to me, you know, seeing that lease to own is proliferating, especially on TVs. I mean, what, you can get like a 55-inch, you know, 4K TV for like probably $300 to $400. I mean, and people are have to then put those on like a 12-month like layaway lease to own. To me, I know they're using that as a, hey, this is a sign the economy is great. And for me, I'm using it as a sign the economy is not great. I mean, what do you think about that, John?
Well, it's when people go out and borrow or lease out, you know, something that they used to probably go and pay cash for before, so think about it this way. Something came to my mind now is, look at the lengths of the mortgages that are now, look at the lengths of car loans that are coming out. Everything is becoming, you know, harder to be able to buy the same asset for the same amount of length because wages are stagnant because they're looking at the fake GDP numbers and the fake inflation numbers. They're not seeing the real inflation in the economy. So wages are, you know, getting stagnant, and they're every year, you know, that inflation is way higher than the actual wage increases. And now you're falling behind every single year. And at those points, that's why people need, instead of, you know, 2 or 3 year loans, not for cars, they take up to 10 years sometimes at the worst end of it, because they just can't afford to pay for that loan anymore. And of course, the interest rates are really high, so that doesn't help at all on top of it. So it's just a financial decision upon bad financial decision that happens. And of course, leasing something is a sign that, you know, it's not people actually buying the physical thing right up front. It's people that need to, you know, have a payment plan in order to be able to afford it. So I don't know. Does that really look like a really solid economy to me? I dare to question that, of course. So what, you know, that people actually have less to, you know, be able to afford things with. And things are not looking that much greater in the economy, because you're constantly trying to, you know, prop up the economy. Meanwhile, people are falling further and further behind because they just can't afford what they used to be able to afford again. And that's a huge problem, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. And it seemed like there was a problem. We were trying to use Zoom to go live and I was sharing articles. Apparently, I think it got shared with you, but it wouldn't go. It's sharing a screen. So I do apologize for people that are watching on the live stream right now. But, you know, I do agree with that analysis. And, you know, it's probably, I don't, do you have too much more to say about this, or do you want to maybe for the third video we were going to?
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. So, of course, the end game here is that you need to protect yourself. You need to be aware that things are happening in the economy. And if you look at things that are happening, of course, this is my opinion, but if you look at the past, you see that, of course, gold and silver is great hedges against all this money printing because they have a set amount of supply that they constantly have. And we're not looking at the U.S. dollar price of gold and silver, which is, you know, fake paper contracts. We're looking at other, you know, currencies that don't have those fake ETF paper gold prices. They're more of a physical discovery of the price of the physical metal itself. And those are all up. So what that's telling me is that, you know, gold and silver is a great hedge. Of course, silver, in my opinion, is always a fantastic hedge because the gold-silver ratio always catches up. Silver always catches up in a crisis to the real value that it should have. And that's going to happen yet again. If, you know, like 10 times over the last, you know, 60 years is a record. Well, I think it will happen again. And of course, if you look at the, 2013, you had also 2014, 15 in Greece, where you had capital controls coming in and problems with the monetary systems in Greece and in Cyprus, where you have bail-ins, the banks, you know, all that stuff. You saw cryptocurrency was starting to take a foothold because they have a cryptocurrency is very strong because it provides you a way of transferring value without the third parties that the banks, you know, have done throughout the world history. And they controlled everything because they have been the intermediary. And now we're taking that away from them with these cryptocurrencies. And we're about to really engulf on a whole new era of freedom, I think, if we can, you know, embrace that value that cryptocurrency has versus, you know, the enslavement of all these banksters and central bankers.
Yes, thank you for that. I was trying to fix one of the technical problems we have here, but I think we'll wrap that up. Just remember some of the ways you guys can help support us. We've got we'll have different links down below, ways that you can support John or Josh, whether it's through Patreon, Subscribestar, subscribing through float.app. We also recommend you guys check us out on BitChute as well. I have my own BitChute channel that I recommend you guys check out as well. As of 2 days ago, just got all the videos up there. Just had my own YouTube channel that we just got all my videos up on there a couple days ago as well. So it's just helped diversify the way you watch us. Ideally, you would not be on YouTube. I know I'm speaking to most of you on YouTube right now, but you can also support John by, he's got two different books out there, The End of Freedom, How Our Monetary System Enslaves Us, and also Canada, the greatest economy in the world, the facts you're not being told about your money and how to protect yourself from the coming crises. You can find both of those on Amazon, but Tim Choate and John Snyson with World Alternative Media, find the truth, be the change.
Thank you for listening to the show. One of the ways you can help support the show is by seeing if it makes sense to invest with myself. I'm a certified financial planner with Innovative Advisory Group, LLC. Innovative specializes in self-directed IRAs where you can invest into virtually anything, including virtual assets and cryptocurrencies inside your retirement accounts. And get this, you can actually hold on to the private key. And that's something that nobody else is doing, at least with the help of an advisor. We also run protective growth portfolios where you invest a small amount of your portfolio into put options, and while the rest, and that basically helps protect the rest of the portfolio. Not very many people are familiar with put options, but a lot of people are familiar with homeowners insurance, and it works in a very similar fashion. So essentially what you're doing is using a very, very small percentage of the value of the home to protect the rest of the home. And if the house doesn't burn down or there isn't a major catastrophe, then you're basically out on the cost of the insurance. Flip side on, if your house ends up burning down, well, then you build your house back. And that's really the same thing that's going on here. So if the market ends up tanking, and we know the most that you can possibly lose on your investment. And honestly, if the market were to go down 60, 70%, and you're only down single digits potentially, then that's an amazing buying opportunity. Lord Nathan Rothschild said it best, that the best time to invest is when there's blood in the streets. But if your money goes down with everybody else's, then you're not able to take advantage of the next crisis. And also, if you're just camping out in cash or in bonds, making next to nothing, you could be going broke safely for a very long time. And then you've got to know when to time the market. And that's something that basically nobody can do. Now, on the flip side, if I'm wrong in all this and the market keeps going higher, or the Federal Reserve comes out or the European Central Bank comes out and says, hey, we're going to print a whole bunch more money, and the market goes to infinity, well, then you'll go up to infinity minus the cost of that put option. So I think that this is a great strategy that you definitely want to learn more about. I mean, just given the craziness that's going on right now, if you're heavy into cash right now, heavy into bonds, or even heavy into stocks, especially if you're close to actually needing those funds for retirement or just needing those funds in general, maybe for a big project, or maybe you work on a crypto and you raised a whole bunch of money, that this is something that we can help protect yourself and protect your loved ones. And there's nothing you have to lose by scheduling a free consultation with us. And actually, there's a chance you could lose a lot by not talking with us in general. If you go and click on our website in the upper right-hand corner, there's a Work with Tim button up there. You can see all of our plans, ways we work with our clients, pricing can all be found there. And given that I'm sort of out there on a lot of different political issues, I know that I'm not going to be for everybody. You know, that's sort of my way of qualifying you, not the other way around. But, you know, I'm fine. I'm not trying to have all six billion people out there like me. And I'm here to really, at the end of the day, to tell the truth and to make money, not necessarily make friends. So head over to thelibertyadvisor.com and let's see what we can do for you. Thank you.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges for creating a website. Please help free this peaceful man. Go to freeross.org and sign and share the petition.